The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. And man, have we got a weekend of football to talk about. And how about Carlos Ortiz, boys? We got to, I mean, I don't want to. The Houston Open deserves its place, its rightful place in this city with a Carlos Ortiz, a Mexican, Mexican, winning at the a PGA Tour event for the first time since 1978. How about that? Where were you when Carlos Ortiz took
Chichi
over?
Chichi Rodriguez?
I think it might have been Trevino.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think. I don't know.
Lee was Mexican American, wasn't he? Or
no, I don't know. I think he was me. He was the Mary Mex. That's all I know.
Yeah,
It might have been Chichi.
Yeah. Where was I? I don't know where I was.
Where were you when you found out Carlos Ortiz? In front of your TV, obviously watching.
Yeah, obviously on one of the three channels. No way that was on TV.
No, it wasn't on network television for the first time ever.
Where were you, Del? Right here at 7:01.
A second. You didn't know Carlos Ortiz?
I didn't know he existed.
You didn't know Carlos, a great
golfer? Well, I'm assuming a Carlos Ortiz existed. I didn't know one was a good enough golfer to win a major, not a major, but a PGA tournament. I didn't know that guy existed.
What are you guys going to do for Masters Week this week?
Well, that's... Yeah, I'm going to make some hamburgers and french fries or whatever it is they make.
Who won last year anyway?
Tiger.
Tiger won the Masters last year?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay. Whoa. Well, I guess he can serve whatever he'd like.
Guess he can serve whatever he wants.
Well, yeah, it's a champion's dinner and Fuzzy's still probably going to be
there. No, that wasn't last year that Tiger won.
Yeah.
The 2019 Masters, Tiger won?
They didn't play the 2019 Masters. 2018. Masters.
Oh, that's why, yeah. That's right, because 19 got wiped out by COVID, too.
Why would 19 get wiped out?
2019, no, they played 19.
No, yeah. Somebody else won.
Yeah, Tiger won. No, dude, Tiger won. Tiger's defending champ.
Wait. Yep, oh, yeah, this is a long year. Okay, yeah.
This is a year and a half later.
Golly. Oh, yeah, man. That screws me up because I'm like, wait a minute, no. I was headed to do draft stuff when Tiger won. Last year, I didn't do draft stuff.
So
last year was this year. It's just a long-ass time ago.
Mm-hmm. So will we be getting southern fried chicken from Tiger or crispy fried? What are we getting from Tiger?
Spicy?
Nashville hot chicken? What are we getting?
Is it going to be spicy because of his Thai heritage, too?
Well, I don't know, Fuzzy. Will it?
Are we getting a Penang curry?
Victor Regalado. Is who was the last Mexican to win a tournament.
It was my second guess. That was my second guess.
That's gifted. Regalado.
Hey, is Fuzzy still alive?
Fuzzy's still alive? Yeah.
I dare somebody to ask him, what do you think Tiger's serving? And then put a mic in front of him.
What do you think Tiger's serving? That would be a grand question. That would be awesome.
Thoughts on what Tiger's serving? So, yeah, I'm interested to watch the Masters.
So, do you think...
Obviously, I didn't watch any of the Shell. I had, you know, football.
It's not the Shell.
Or whatever. Yeah.
The Vivint. But okay.
Well, Shell did a great job of branding for a long time.
They sure did. So, and I struggle to not say Shell Houston Open, too. So what did you think of the... Is there an asterisk next to this win by the Texans?
Because Jake Luton was better than Gardner Minshew? Well, I wouldn't say that. He had a long touchdown
because the
pass.
Texans scored their long touchdown to Fuller at four seconds after the play clock.
That was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That how they missed on that, and Doug Marrone started losing his mind rightfully. I thought at one point Doug Marrone was going to sock a referee.
Yeah. Well, it's such an important game.
Well... For him, maybe.
Yeah, right.
He's trying to keep his job.
Yeah, right. No, no.
He's like, man, I need to catch a win streak at some point to keep this job.
Oh, yeah. His job. There's no question. He's on the hottest seat. Well, I say he's on the hottest seat. There's some hot. Matt Nagy's on a really, really hot seat as well. And what they're doing now, the way the Bears are playing.
But good win. I'll tell you this. Zach Cunningham showed up.
Yeah, he did.
Zach Cunningham was flying all over the field, making big hits, tackles for loss. I mean, he was batting down balls. Zach Cunningham was – that's what Zach Cunningham
should have been. He had a much better game. He was – you saw him – you know, that's not a particularly good team, but Zach needed a game now. He needed to have a game, and I think the ability to run and chase. Now, Robinson's still ended up with 99 yards rushing from a defensive standpoint. And the defense, you know, once again had a lot of breakdowns. But on an individual standpoint, Zach Cunningham made a lot more plays.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, which is important because you've already paid him. There's nothing else that's going to happen. So you need him to play well. You can't just sit and hope he what? He got paid. He's going to be here with the Texans a long time. He needs to play well, or at least a longer time than, you know, Bernardrick McKinney probably. But, it was the Luton kid looked good at times.
Yeah,
He started off with the big touchdown throw, and then after that, there were some, you know, it was some ups and downs. Texans got a little pressure on him. I was happy to see. What'd you think about Deshaun?
I thought Deshaun played fine.
Yeah, he was solid.
He was solid.
He didn't hit the level of play that we were used to over the last few games.
But he had
his moments. I mean, listen, this was not a particularly fun game to watch. I'm trying to watch. So here's what I do. I have a double receiver on DirecTV, so I watch channel 702, which has 8 games on it, and then I pause that, and then I flip to my other receiver. You just push button down twice, and then I had it on channel, channel 11 for the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 26. And it was on 26 yesterday, right? For some reason,
was it? I don't even know. I was like,
was
next
it 11?
Place.
Anyway,
I was watching on next place.
So I record it, pause it.
I don't know.
And so I flip back and forth to watch 8 games, and then watch a Texans game separately. Even though Texans were one of the games on the 8, you know, I try not to look at it because I don't want to spoil all the fun. You know, spoiler alert.
Right.
And that was one that I'm watching for the show. Like, I'm watching for Houston, the city of Houston. I've got other games boy, this is kind of, you know, Titans versus Bears. Kind of an
Seahawks,
interesting game.
Bills.
Ravens, Colts, Seahawks, Bills. The Bills stomped them in the first half, and the Seahawks came rushing
back.
That's
why I was at Nick's place.
Yeah.
I had all of them, and it was hard. It is hard to pay attention to the Texans game because it's just not interesting.
Right now it is work.
I'm watching the Bills. And I'm watching the Seahawks, and they're up and down the field, and they're flying under. And then all of a sudden, the Texans score a field goal? Crap.
I know. It is. You're watching these other teams that are high-level teams, and then you turn to Texans, Jags. And
mm-hmm.
It is like watching a different brand of – because you're watching them, you're watching game, and you're seeing the level of play, and you watch the Texans, it feels like you're watching the MAC when you're watching these these Power Fives, and then you're watching the MAC or the Mountain West. It's like, oh, that's a nice little, who's got the red field? That's cool. Kind of weird.
Look at Deshaun's red spikes. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It's not even the non-Power Five. It's more like, Bowling Green's really giving it to, I don't know, some FCS school right now.
Whoa, that's terrible.
You got Missouri stated?
Well, maybe a better FCS school. Hey, look, UT Chattanooga's really getting pounded by Golden Green right now. I guess
it's like I'm watching Oregon State and Northern Iowa. Now that's probably too disrespectful. Oregon State. Well, it's like watching a Pac-12 game, actually. Oregon State and Hawaii.
Those games at least are entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, they can be entertaining. Yeah, they can be. Now, not all
sometimes.
The time. But
Oregon State games weren't that entertaining last year, Jake Luton at quarterback.
Yep.
They had their moments, but Texans get their second win. I mean, I know you're going to be salty today, Dell. That's just
it was a conflicted day yesterday.
One more step up the draft ladder for the Texans.
And I checked, and now they're like seventh, which kind of sucks.
Where are they now?
They're seventh.
Seventh?
Yeah.
Well, this is the part of the schedule where they could get to 4 to 5 wins. So get ready.
Well, and you're going to have to draft a quarterback because that was the story last week, is that you guys are just, this is
an audition. Yeah, Tua was getting a 10-game audition.
Right. Tua's getting his audition right now. How's that audition working out?
Went pretty well.
The audition went pretty well?
It went pretty well yesterday.
Yeah. Now, everybody else.
It starts right off. They start off with another defensive touchdown.
Right.
I'm like, Tua is just magical.
Well,
he makes the defense score
touchdowns. It does help. Now, let's face it. It definitely helps Tua when you're out to a lead every week.
But look how. But you know what? As I watch the Dolphins, and I just really have no doubt about this. I mean, the Raiders and the Dolphins. These are teams that just started collecting picks, and it wasn't fun for their. Instead of spending them, they started collecting picks. And look how quickly they're starting to. I mean, the Dolphins are popping up real quick. Last year, they were an atrocity to start the year. Remember that. 2019, like the Ravens beat them 50-something. We were like, oh my God, the tank for Tua. This team is so terrible, so bad. And midway through, they were much more competitive. The Dolphins were, and they had all those draft picks last year. They have a bunch of draft picks again this year because of the Texans. And this is how quick it can turn around in the NFL if you hoard picks and if you have people in place who understand that there's a process involved. It's okay to go through a couple rough times if you come out of the other end with a really, a fun team and a good young team that's on the come up. What I'm worried about with the Texans is they're going to get stuck in a spot. It's going to be tough because they could get stuck in a spot with a bunch of money for Tunsil, bunch of money for Deshaun, bunch of money for Zach Cunningham, no draft picks, free agent. Like, it's not like there's one big you could just flush the commode and get rid of a bunch of stuff and come back on the other side because you don't have those picks this year. So I don't know how far out they are. I really don't. I mean, yay, they got to win against Jacksonville. I'm not trying to just dismiss it right away because it's hard to win in the NFL, as coaches will tell you. But I don't really know. I can't get excited about anything until I find out who the GM and head coach are. I just can't.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Next week is at Cleveland, so that'll be interesting to see.
A much more interesting game than what we just saw.
Yeah, yes. That will be
because there's something on the line for Baker and the Browns. Not as much on the line for Deshaun, other than stacking up against another young quarterback. But the Browns, the Browns need this game, and they're coming off of a bye. So going in, and you can try to ruin Cleveland.
Is this like Alabama? Everybody gets a bye before they play the Texans. Is this like,
yeah, because you don't want to be beaten up and going against the Texans.
No, you need 2 weeks to prepare for a Texans team.
Yeah. Unfortunately for the Browns, they did because Baker tested positive. So they can he didn't test positive. Excuse me. He was put on the COVID list because he came in contact with a coach who tested positive. So they have to figure all that out. And hopefully for the Browns, he'll be okay and cleared and he'll be ready to go.
Yep. Hopefully. Man, we had some good games yesterday. We'll talk about that and Saturday. So we got a lot to talk about here on ESPN 97. They're really following all the COVID regulations in South Bend.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. The students are really being safety first. So thoughts and prayers to Notre Dame's chances of going to the college football championship, college football playoffs again. Let's get to Texas Custom Patio. So the place that I've been working over the last few days has been my patio. I'd set up my... I set up some tape on my patio, and I've been watched Walker Little from Stanford yesterday. I thought I was going to be doing a show out there again. Didn't have to today, but I could tell you this. I'm glad I didn't because it's humid my goodness. But the great thing about Texas Custom Patios is that the work that they do is phenomenal. The most response I've ever had from any post on any social media platform has been the before and after of my patio. It's been astonishing. And I just had a very regular backyard. And the vision that Steve and Shell had for my backyard, they can see it. Not only can they see it, but they design it for you on a CAD system. And then they show it to you. And you can see exactly what your house is going to look like. He tells you how much it's going to cost. It never deviates. No matter what they have to do in addition, they eat that cost. And in the time frame, they stay on their time frame as well. And what you get is an amazing outdoor kitchen area, outdoor living space, patio, whatever it is, room addition. You have a sunroof. You have a chance sunroom. You have a chance to really turn your house into a home, and it's going to be money well spent because you're going to get that money back when it's time to sell that home. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website, and you can see all the details of how they work, and you can see the before and afters. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I kind of like him running because he was able to gain yards and didn't get beat up too badly when he did. He's a magician. I don't know how he got out of some of those situations he was in, but he has a feel for finding the opening and being able to get through, and when he gets through, he gains yards and keeps the sticks moving, keeps the momentum for the offense going. And so, I mean, you can say don't run it, but if you say don't run it, then we're not going to move the ball, and then you'll be asking me a different question then. So I'm okay with him running.
That's Romeo Crennel talking about Deshaun Watson running the ball. 50 yards rushing yesterday, John. And it makes a difference. I mean, it's one of your strong suits. You're not a pocket quarterback who just picks people apart from the pocket. You have, I mean, Deshaun can do some of that, but what makes him a plus quarterback is his ability to threaten with his legs. And it doesn't make sense for him to just fall into the pattern of being stubborn and saying, I'm going to do this to prove that I'm a pocket quarterback. Use your legs. If you can, use your legs. And then, just be smart about not taking hits and sliding. That's all you got to do. And it really helped yesterday. You know, David Johnson at this point, I'll be honest, sometimes I sit to myself and I think, does Bill O'Brien ever in his own mind, do you think, say, God, why did we, this guy, David Johnson's way worse than I expected, or, well, why did I sign Randall Cobb to that much? Do you think he ever looks back and thinks that he screwed up anything?
Oh, he has to.
I don't know that he's that kind of guy.
He has to. No, absolutely.
With the contracts and the draft picks, I feel like he thinks that he did what he was supposed to do.
No. I mean, the criticism,
criticism just pissed him off.
You can't look at a 2-7 football team and say, well, I did all I could. Look at what I did. Man, pat myself on the back. Boy, what a roster.
He could be saying, you know, Rick and Brian Gain did a bad job with Lonnie Johnson and Vernon Hargraves. Maybe he says it's this defense isn't good enough. I don't know. I just, for some reason, I just get the feeling that Bill O'Brien thinks all the moves he made were good moves, and that you just have to wait and see.
Well, I've thought about wait and see, because that was the edict from the three-man referendum. Four. I think Jack Easterby was there. Cal, remember that phone call that they had, and they just wanted to explain the DeAndre Hopkins, which they didn't. They didn't take any questions. It was just them sitting around. It was a round table of those, and the main message was, we got to wait and see. Well, we've waited and we've seen. It's 2-7. They're really, really bad. They don't have anybody outplaying their contract. They don't. It's one of the worst defenses in the league. We've seen. No, We've seen what your trade did with DeAndre Hopkins playing so well there and David Johnson playing so poorly here. There is no argument here. I don't even Bill O'Brien, as stubborn, as hard-headed, as arrogant, as everything that he is, he has to look at what this is and say, I bleeped up.
You think?
Oh, absolutely.
I can't say absolutely. He might, but I feel like he's arrogant enough to believe that he made good moves, that guys aren't executing, that I just feel like he wouldn't. I've thought about this actually a few times. Does he ever look at Laremy Tunsil and say, I think he thinks the Laremy Tunsil deal was a good deal. I think he believes
there's no.
And we just had Ronnie Stanley, the best tackle in football, just get a deal for $3 million less per year. Does he ever look at that and say, or $2.5 million? Does he ever? Is there any chance he says, "God, what a bad contract"?
Well, you sat with him at that lunch, and he rationalizes everything.
Oh, everything. That's why I'm having a hard time getting where you are, because he was combative
but
with
once
me.
Once you're 0-4 and you get fired, you have to sit down and look and say, "Well, this is bad. I screwed up."
Do you think Jack Easterby, who was right there making all those same moves with him, thinks that?
No, Jack Easterby.
He's probably said.
I just went along because that's what Bill wanted, and I wanted to. You know what? He was.
You know what? Those were his moves. Now that I think about it, I was really. It was a lot like a Patty Hearst situation. It was a Stockholm syndrome.
It actually was though, in a little bit, because no one there, because you knew. When you pushed back at all and said, "What do we can't do that. We have to do this," Bill, you get fired.
Stockholm syndrome for the Tunsil deal.
Yes.
That was Jack feeling
way? No. Well, listen, I know Jack Easterby was pining for him, and oh, by the way, said we don't need to sign him.
That's
before
what I'm saying. That's a Jack.
Well, but Jack was told that, and Jack was all on board with Bill and said, Bill said, this
I'm not
is what
letting
we're doing,
Jack,
and guess what?
Jack should have, I'm not letting Jack off the hook. I mean, these are his moves, too. He doesn't get to just be
Lance,
Bill made me do this.
There is something, too, I've got to go along, otherwise I'm out.
I get that, but we don't know that's what Jack did.
Yeah, no, we don't. I mean, it makes sense, though. I mean, but you can't blame anyone who's
in that kind of situation.
Just survival.
Jack is probably the reason why David Johnson's here. Jack's probably the reason why Brandon Cook's
probably.
Here. Let's be honest. He has to wear those too. You could have, and I brought this up to.
Well, Brandon Cook's is turning out to be not.
Brandon's been fine.
Yeah.
Brandon's been fine. He can still play football. David Johnson cannot. He won't play after this year.
Maybe after this week.
Yeah, everyone's got. Duke is much better. And I've been saying this all year long. Duke needs to play. Duke needs to get the carries. He's faster. He's got more juice. He can catch the ball. David Johnson should be the second or even third back. Buddy Howell. So my problem is when I broach the subject of why take on David Johnson and his contract when you can find running backs and guys who weren't really good in 16. Like, why not?
Why not 19
and
or 18?
You guys are good at finding, like, yeah. You mean like Carlos Hyde? Yes, dummy, like Carlos Hyde. I'm making the point for you. You did a good job with that last year. Why take this guy on with all this money? Like, they had no idea.
What do you mean? Why are you so mad?
What? I'm asking, you don't make any football sense. And I'm sure he sat there drinking the beers and wolfing down jalapeno poppers or whatever it was. He's eating, just thinking, I am going to be here for all of eternity. Yeah. I am the king of Houston.
Yes, he did.
And football's the most important thing, and I'm the king of the most important thing.
Nope.
And then
bye-bye.
I just don't think he assumes that. Which coach is this who's dancing in the locker room, by the way?
Oh, that was Nathan Larned from Kincaid.
Huh?
Was that Kincaid? Was that high school?
No, that was Sean Payton.
Oh, it was Sean Payton.
Yeah. After
Kincaid finished 7-0. I guess they beat Episcopal.
Did they play in the afternoon to avoid gang violence in their
There
in the
is
streets?
No gang violence at Kincaid.
Was it's in they Memorial played Episcopal?
Did they play to avoid gang violence?
Like, That game must have brought out all the bad elements, so I'm assuming they had to push it up to make sure everyone got home safely.
No. That game can be played at 2 in the morning. Huh.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Considering the back and forth between those two schools.
Yeah, No.
You have Sperry's version 2.5? What are they called? Topsiders?
Do you have the new Range Rover as a 17-year-old?
If you don't, what? You got a 2019 Range Rover?
I don't want my child driving an old Range Rover. He needs the newest Range Rover.
The cheerleaders have chants about Birkin bags.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe about they do.
How old your Birkin bag is compared to ours.
So
that's why people
can't
get cut.
Even have a civil conversation.
Well, you assumed ESPN was showing
it had that.
Is that Kincaid
video?
No.
Last night, David Nunez showed Nathan Lauren dancing in the locker room because they finished 7-0 and had they're done with their
season.
Who's
your favorite coach dancing video?
Best coach dancing
video? I'd have to see a bunch of them. Off the top of my head is Mac Brown.
Off the top of my head, it's Ted Lasso.
Yeah, okay. Ted was pretty good with his dance. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we come back, this time when we come back for real, we're going to talk about, you know what you could have bet at my bookie yesterday? You could have bet over 47.5 yards for Antonio Brown and lost if you wanted to.
Oh, I've gotten your ass handed to you on that one.
Yeah, good game for Tampa.
No, good. Good they look game. Good. They look like a Super Bowl contender there last night.
MVP performance by Tawny.
Well, and it's clear now. It's Belichick and not Brady. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we back with that?
We're back. Okay. Now. After last week, we're back because they had a bye. Time for me to talk about my bookie, and that's where you can bet on all of this stuff. You could have bet the Saints last night. I know there's a bunch of Saints fans out there. You could have bet your Saints last night and cruised to an easy. You know what's the most fun is when you got an easy win that you never sweat. Not for a second. Not for a nanosecond did you sweat that game last night.
Must be nice.
It was 7-0 before, and then it's 31-0 at the half. Guess what? You got a winner, my friend. Well, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and if you think you know something about the game, well, they're right there for you. All the bets you could possibly want. I mean, it's ridiculous. Every single thing that you can bet on, and in-game betting as well. And your initial deposit, they're going to match it, so you play with double. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You're looking for the best site to play and win, get paid. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Now, what did you promise to talk about that you said we were going to talk about?
Yeah, Notre Dame and Syracuse. Oh, yeah. Clemson, we've been talking about that.
It's
so
a hell of a game.
Our scenario actually happened where Clemson, it really was a great game. Double overtime win for Notre Dame. And you had you have Clemson losing now without. So this is the scenario. This is what one of them that we had talked about. Clemson loses, but it's a good loss. Like if there can be a good loss, they ended up both teams got in the 40s, double overtime. Clemson, their defense didn't show up. I tell you what, Notre Dame's got a good offensive line. They did a good job. Clemson did a good job of coming back, but in the end, Notre Dame wins. So here's what happens. Notre Dame beats Clemson. They are likely to meet again in the ACC because, you know, Notre Dame, the proud member of the ACC. Mm-hmm. They're likely to meet again in the ACC championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where does Miami fit into all that?
They have one loss. They would have benefited from a Notre Dame loss because they already have lost. Because
they're in that same division with them?
They're no division. They lost the head-to-head.
Oh, no, that's right. It's all one now.
Yeah. I know the whole weekend was like, man, Miami's really in it. Quiet as it's kept Miami. I mean, they probably won't say it out loud. They'd rather probably not play in the game, finish 10-1, and have everyone feel good about them as opposed to getting their ass kicked in the title game. Just finish 10-1, let those two teams play each other and wind up in, like, the Peach Bowl or something.
That's what everyone used to do whenever the Nash. I remember when, whenever they didn't have to play God, who was that? It was in the early 2000s. There was somebody.
Well, in Central Florida, it was like, we're national champs.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do that from like, okay. I wish we would play.
We won Alabama.
Yeah, we won Alabama. We won Clemson. Yeah, Bring it on, Clemson. Bring it on, LSU. Well, I'll beat LSU's ass. Yeah,
we want a second shot at Clemson. No, we don't. We don't really.
We'll go to a parking lot and play. Like, y'all are talking real flagrant when you don't have to actually go to that parking lot and play Joe Burrow or play Alabama's defense or play Clemson.
Well, my question after it is, how much would they have benefited from Trevor Lawrence? I mean, Uiagalelei
played. Does he play middle linebacker for them?
Well, how well did Uiagalelei play? I mean, he was great. He was
not great in the first half,
but
he was okay in the first half.
But, and then he came back, took the lead.
I mean, they had some defensive issues.
Listen, he threw for 439. Yeah. They ran for 34 yards.
ATN, who's been their bailout guy really this entire year.
He did it by himself.
Well, yeah. I do think, Miami would have, I think Notre Dame might have played them differently defensively because Notre Dame sold out to stop ATN, and that's what they did. And I think the quarterback benefited from that. If Trevor Lawrence is there, my guess is that they maybe play Trevor a little different, and Etienne has more room to maneuver.
Well,
maybe,
I don't know. But they look like a recipe for a win.
I don't know. I know that, yeah, that was a smart move, is forcing the quarterback to win it. And frankly, I mean, Clemson's defense is the one that let them down. But so now that they have a lot, I don't think Clemson, this is exactly what we were talking about. It was a close win, and now they'll play a second time probably.
Well, and let's not forget, Trevor Lawrence started slow last year. I mean, he was not great at the beginning of last year.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
And he was not good at the end of last year against LSU.
No, his
if you want to know the truth, I'm not letting Travis Etienne beat me. I want Trevor Lawrence to beat me.
I do, too. There's no Ross. He's got wide receivers, but I do, too. Listen, he has been anointed as the next great quarterback. His tape last year was not next great quarterbackish, but we just and then he steps up and he has his big moments. He has his big plays. He did make some good plays against. He had a great game in the semifinal game, but then not the championship game. He had a couple throws, but he just couldn't get it going.
I don't think it's a lock that Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback coming out this year.
I don't think it's a lock either. I think it's a lock he goes first.
It's a lock he goes first.
But I'm not.
But Fields could be, and I'm going to tell you this: Zach Wilson.
Zach's just not big. I was asking the team about Zach.
We've seen a lot of not big quarterbacks be pretty good.
Yeah, but he's got Justin and Trevor. Oh, as far as who's going to be the best?
Yes.
Yeah, as far as who's going to be the best, Zach Wilson, he made some throws against Boise State that had everyone like capturing clips to show on Twitter. He had some unbelievable arm talent throws. But here's Fields just continues. I mean, Fields is reminding me so much of Warren Moon. He's got enough mobility. He is such – the ball comes out so pretty. He makes good decisions. He looks extremely confident in everything he does.
He looks better this year than he did last.
I'm like, man, I watched this guy when I was younger. Oh. And this is the same kind of guy as Warren. So I'm going to have to prep that so Twitter doesn't get too mad at me comping black quarterback and black quarterback.
Yeah.
But they'll still get pretty mad.
Well, I'm already mad.
I know.
Well, we can't forget, though, his games against Wisconsin last year, his game against Michigan. He was inaccurate. He wasn't that same guy. Now he's taken a step this year.
That's what I'm saying. He has become a better quarterback. His pocket mobility, when I say that, just sliding around the pocket to safe spots to make throws, he's doing that. Justin Fields has gotten better as a quarterback. This is why opt-outs are really going to be, and I think we're going to start seeing future opt-outs. They are hard to evaluate. I just got done watching Walker Little from Stanford, who played one game in 2019, and so I'm having to watch his 2018
tape.
And
he,
I know the gangs of Kincaid, or was he? He's Episcopal.
Exactly. Episcopal. Still,
that's watch yourself. And oh, by the way, you just pissed off everybody by saying that.
Yeah,
that
I know.
He was with
but Kincaid. I watched his 18 tape, and he's just not very strong in the 18 tape. He really needs more. That's 2 years ago, though. So then I watched the one game from 19 that he played. I'm like, oh, he looks a little stronger here. He still needs to get better core strength, but one game in 19 and I can start to see a difference. Had he not opted out, had he played in 20, had this been his first week of football for Stanford, I think he would have really helped himself from a draft standpoint. I don't see anything on tape that leads me to believe he's going to be a first round tackle. I think he'll be a day two tackle. Had he played this year, and shown, hey, I'm even bigger, I'm even stronger, I'm even better. Even for four games, I think it would have made all the difference in the world. So guys get better. You know, we forget sometimes, players will get better. Dwayne Haskins, frankly, made a mistake. Dwayne Haskins may have made a mistake that will cost him his career when it's all said and done, because I don't know how he's getting any better right now.
No.
Had he stayed, and I get it, 50 touchdowns, it's hard not to go take the money after 50 touchdowns. But from a football standpoint, if Dwayne Haskins had stayed and not gone out after his redshirt sophomore year, had he stayed and played again another year and had some ups and downs and learned to read defenses a little different, and, you know, I think he'd be in better shape going on the pros. It's just more experience, you know. So,
well, there are
now,
some guys,
though. He can't even play like Alex Smith. You know, Next week they said Alex Smith is a starter and Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins cannot even get time now.
They're done with them.
Think about the dominoes. If Dwayne Haskins decides I'm staying for 2019, you know who doesn't transfer at all?
Fields doesn't transfer.
And you know who Georgia has at quarterback?
Yeah.
As opposed to Stetson Bennett and DeJuan Mathis.
Well, would Fields have stayed there or gone somewhere else?
That's true. He might have transferred because Jake Fromm would have played in 19,
right.
But who knows?
Yeah.
So that's a Kirby decision.
Somebody would have had him.
Somebody not named Ohio State would have him.
Boy, how good.
Would have gone to U of H with Tom Herman.
There,
or, I mean, UT with Tom Herman.
Maybe.
Nah, Ellinger.
No, Ellinger.
No one can beat out of Sam Ellinger.
How good is A&M's win over Florida looking now?
Oh, my goodness.
Better.
Wow.
But A&M really needed Clemson to win. Knock Notre Dame back. Get them out of there. But Florida, that win looks great. I'm telling you, Florida is a beast on offense.
I think Florida has the best offense
in college.
I think it's regardless of Clemson. It's going to come down to Clemson and Notre Dame anyway, regardless.
Well,
because Clemson would go.
But
so there's one spot either way.
A&M's an SEC team; they can keep on moving up the food chain.
But Clemson or Notre Dame is
Florida
go
now is.
No, well, if Notre Dame had lost on Saturday and Clemson smacked them again, that's two losses and they're
well,
done.
But Clemson's going to.
Well,
I mean, somebody's going.
No, but that's okay.
It's one.
You don't care.
Because if Notre Dame beats them again, then or if Clemson wins, Notre Dame's out.
Maybe. Who knows? If Notre Dame filters up to two and they lose a close game of Clemson, why would Notre Dame be automatically out?
Because they lost late like that.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see how it plays out. Because if they lose another close one,
we haven't seen.
But other teams
we
lose.
We only saw it with Kansas State, or who was it that Oklahoma lost to Kansas State in the last game, and they got into the playoff. Not into playoff. They got into the BCS championship game. We haven't seen it in the playoffs.
But we haven't,
where you lose the championship game of your conference and you get in.
Well, we haven't seen an undefeated team do that. Who's Notre Dame would probably be 2 or 1.
It's tricky because some teams are not going to have that many games. Wisconsin's going to. They didn't lose, did they? They've won.
No, they haven't played.
They had the one game.
They had one game.
And Wisconsin's a top 10 team.
And that's the number one pick in the draft is Graham Mertz.
He's a freshman.
That's all right.
So A&M, the win over Florida, and you know the way that they beat Florida, it's not like Florida's offense didn't move on, but the way that they beat Florida is they ran the ball, and they were able to slug it out, and Kellen Mond had his best game as an Aggie. He really did. Even right now, Kellen Mond looks okay, but he had a fantastic game that game. The Aggies, I don't know how much they'll move up. Because
they're 5.
Did they move up to 5?
They're 5.
Who dropped behind them?
Georgia did.
Well, Georgia's
out. Oh, yeah. Georgia should.
Yeah. Georgia's out. Georgia's done.
Yeah, they're 2 losses. They're out.
Yeah, they're done. Georgia's done.
Georgia doesn't have enough offense.
So it's right now, it's Alabama, Notre Dame 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4, and one of those is going to go. A&M is going to move up. A&M is 5, Florida is 6, Cincinnati, BYU, Miami, and Indiana. And I'm not sure Cincinnati should be ahead of BYU.
Hold on. Did Cincinnati move back?
Cincinnati is 7. Yeah, they dropped a spot.
Yeah, Florida moved ahead of them.
Oh, they just got jumped by Florida. That makes sense. Florida's better.
Yeah.
I thought Cincinnati looked good. I mean, they have a good running back. The quarterback is okay. I don't feel like Cincinnati is one of the 5 best teams in college football. I do think I would love to see Cincinnati and BYU.
I think that'd be great. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great to see that, yeah.
A non-power five play.
This is the year. I don't know. I can't remember who made. I was watching a game and somebody made this point. It actually was Joe Tessitore. he said he thinks college football blew it because this would have been the year that they could have made an argument for taking eight teams. Because you say, look, we're going to do eight teams or even six teams. We're going to, because it's not fair. Some teams are going to have canceled games. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of an incomplete season. Let's do
good
six.
Luck with that.
And if they had done six, it really would have been, it really would have been cool.
It opens up Pandora's box.
And yeah, I know that's why they're too scared. But even if, you know, if you had done eight, yeah, I think six could have been the pan. You could have done six teams and had this, and had five and six play in. But you really can't do that because then you're playing in against you've already got the top four, so 5-6
three
doesn't
and four
make any
would have
sense.
To play in too.
Oh, do like basketball's
yeah,
going to
yeah,
do
yeah. Yeah.
3-4-5-6 that yeah. whole scenario, yeah. But then you create an extra game for one of them.
Well, yeah, well that's creating extra games, and that's exactly what they don't want.
You'd probably want to go to eight. Like this would have been the year you could have said, "Look, we're not doing this full time." All right,
but why is Bill O'Brien running this?
Hey, it's not full time. Hey,
we don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Yeah, you kind of do. 743 ESPN 97.5. It's all heart. That's what we need, Lance. All heart.
Then CoreMed Solutions is your company because you need to find out. I was watching there was just a commercial that was talking about, it was a cardiologist talking about different issues with heart conditions that people don't know they have. And it's, you know, it's the number one killer. Like ahead of cancer right now, cardiac issues are your number one killers. And unfortunately, it can happen with younger people. It can happen with people in their 20s, their 30s. It's not just people who are older or who have issues with obesity or whatever the case may be. Myocarditis, heart inflammation. You have irregularities that are potentially due to hereditary concerns. They can check up on all that. They can do hereditary tests for you at CoreMed. They do the EKG, the echocardiogram. Those are two different things. They can do a stress test. They can find out exactly what your heart health is. And you know what's great? Getting a full, just like, hey, everything's great with your heart. Boom, you're done. They got a cardiologist right there on staff, Dr. Burkhold, who's pediatric and adult, so he can take care of anyone. If you've got an athlete, there's no reason for you not to get your young athlete checked to avoid any horrible things in the future. And for you, if you have COVID at any point, to check and see if you have myocarditis, because if you do, it's dangerous, but it can be treated and it can be fixed. Let CoreMed Solutions be your solution and check up on your heart health. They could even do it at the workplace for all your employees as well with their mobile units. CoreMedSolutions.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Martha, I'm not from being nervous sometimes. I'm thinking God made me special here on purpose. So all the while till I'm gone, make my words important. So if I slip away,
you're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Nah, anybody can do that. It would have been hell if they would have did that, for sure. Honestly, but I'm glad they continue to play with Will. You know, we've been making a lot of big plays since I came in this league together, and I'm going to continue to do that, you know, as we continue to go the rest of this year and hopefully the rest of our career.
That was Deshaun talking about Will Fuller. If asked, what if he had gotten traded? And the first thing, there would have been hell.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have thrown that touchdown 4 seconds after the clock expired.
Yeah, but they did get the touchdown, and you know you certainly can't blame the guys. But
Will is so tantalizing, like his speed and playmaking ability and what he can do for the offense. It really is tantalizing about what he could potentially do. It's just the guy can't stay healthy. Now up to this point. He hadn't missed any games, right, that I can remember. He did have a game where he didn't even have a catch. But he hasn't officially missed a game, although he did have – no, that's not true. He was hurt. Did he not miss that game? Because remember when he actually was hurt early in the year. I'm trying to remember if he missed a game because he played and and didn't have a catch.
Yeah, he had one miss game.
Yeah, he did miss a game.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's on brand.
That's all right. That's fine. One miss game, I'm going to take it. And out of the first eight, I'm going to take it.
I don't think it's a lock that he's gone after this year. I don't think it's a lock.
Yeah, it'll be hell. That's why.
Yeah, it'll be hell. But the problem is, how much can you pay him? You're paying Randall Cobb. You're paying Brooks. I mean, Brandon Cooks. I mean, how much cash are you gonna put into that wide receiving core? And you still don't have a true number one wide receiver. But I don't know that you can let him leave. You're not in good shape at wide receiver.
Well, and again,
Kenny Stills. I mean, none of those guys.
Kenny Stills still alive? Was he alive yet?
I mean, I don't know. You gave up a second for him. I hope he starts doing something.
I don't even know if he's still alive. I have no
idea. I saw him.
You saw him alive?
Yeah, because he was congratulating other players as they were playing.
Oh,
when they were coming off the field, he would, hey, nice job, guys.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't see that, no.
Don't worry, Dell's watching Texans games closely.
Oh, no. He's got an eye on our Texans.
I was here doing some morning shows on Sunday, so the only thing I caught really were the two early touchdowns, and then I got home, I was like, do I really want to sit through this?
Mm-hmm.
I've been up since like 5. Do I really want to sit through this? I can take a nap right now.
Why are you up at 5?
Because I had to do a couple morning shows here.
So where do you think the Texans offense ranks right now, yards per game?
We've had more lately. I'll put them at about 14.
They're 16. They're right on brand.
Yeah.
Exactly on brand.
Go right in the middle.
Then they're below average as far as points per game. Although they are, I mean, under Bill O'Brien, they didn't score 25 points a game. They did not hit the magical 25 number for, I don't know, once over the last couple of years. And now they're putting up points. They're doing much better. And again, I don't know. Are they much different than when they had DeAndre Hopkins? I don't think so. I mean, honestly.
Well, I mean, the difference is the end results aren't a lot different. The difference is Hop was a guy that you could go to.
Well, right.
But you could win a big. You could win. Yeah, here's the difference. You could win games against better competition with Hop. They didn't have a 2-win season. I mean, you had winning seasons. You were winning divisions with
Hop. You won 11 and 10
games. He obviously made a big difference. Caught touchdowns. So he did make a difference. From a statistical standpoint, it looks similar. Before we get Anthony in, I want to mention something that happened over the weekend that is interesting. The Texans signed Josh McCown to a commissioner's list. It was basically to a 2-year deal. It's basically, I think he's going to be Deshaun's personal best friend.
Yeah.
They're bringing a quarterback, a veteran quarterback in, I believe, to help with Deshaun. I think this is a move for the potential future for Deshaun Watson is what it looks like to me. I don't see why else you would be doing this. So I think this is going to be really a coaching move.
Well, they say Josh McCown, it won't be long before he's an offensive coordinator in the league, and it's only going to be a few, not so long before he's a head coach.
And maybe this is a sign of no matter who your head coach is, this is going to be your quarterback coach.
He's been coaching a high school team where his sons play and did not want to leave. And while the Eagles did not want to lose him, they ultimately understood and urged him to relish the chance to get back on the field in at least a backup capacity. With a 2-year deal, it makes increasingly likely any Texans regime would want to keep him around as he works with Watson.
In what
I
capacity?
Guess Carson Wentz was better when Josh McCown was around.
Yeah, and Frank Reich.
Yeah.
So is he going to be a player?
Well, is he a player coach?
I mean, I just wonder if he long-term is going to be a coach here with the Texans.
He could be. Or he's just, you know.
Where does he live? Where was he a coach?
Well, apparently he's here.
In Houston?
Apparently he's down here in Texas. Where's he from? Are the McCowns from here?
He went to Yates.
He did?
No, he didn't.
Oh.
No, he didn't. Don't say that. Now
I thought the McCowns are from like Louisiana. Is that just where one of them went to school? No, he's from Jacksonville, Texas.
Yeah, the McCowns. One of them went to La Tech.
Luke McCown went to La Tech, right?
Yeah.
Josh went to Sam Houston State.
Yep.
So this is,
Chance,
I guess,
made a song about him years and years and years ago.
He did?
Yeah, when he was with,
about,
yeah.
Josh McCown?
No, it was the other quarterback.
Cade McNow?
Mike Quinn.
Mike Quinn.
He's my son's baseball coach.
I saw Mike Quinn last week.
Mike's awesome. He's my son's baseball coach a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Really good dude.
I saw him last week. He's great. His kid is now grown up. He was just a little kid, and now he's grown up, and he's teaching him how to play quarterback. So we're going to have another Quinn coming along. Let's get Anthony in here. Hey, Anthony, you want to talk about this weekend's games? What's up?
Hey, guys. Best show ever.
Thanks, man.
Let me get right to it. I think out of all the young quarterbacks, you know, Deshaun, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Tua, I think Kyler Murray is going to be the closest thing to Tom Brady. Now, I'm not a Kyler Murray fan, but I do like the fact that D-Hop said he's never been yelled by any quarterback until he got to Kyler Murray. And then Kyler Murray yells at his teammates when they're not paying attention or they're not focused. And to me, I feel like as a quarterback, you need that bastard in you. Like, you need all that hate and anger when people are not doing right, especially after the game. His press conference, I love how sick he was. It looked like he was, like, smelling turds underneath his nose because he lost the game. Like, I don't see any of these young quarterbacks getting that angry and mad when it comes down to losing games besides Kyler Murray. So I feel like if he keeps that same energy, he's going to win multiple quarterbacks, even though I don't really like the Cardinals, but I do like all that fight. So he's becoming one of my favorite players. Yeah, have a blessed day.
Thanks. That's a really, I think that's a really good topic about the best young quarterbacks. And the one thing I would say with Kyler Murray, I heard this from a friend in the league who said he's a little concerned about some of the, there's a big difference between being a bastard, as you call them. Because I do agree with you. You have to be able to get after your players. Well, A, they have to respect you first. And then your ability to get after players, and even the really good ones, I think that's important. Peyton could do that. Tom Brady can do that. Drew Brees seems like he kills with kindness. I don't know. But he's fiery out on the field. Kyler has to be careful that he doesn't go over the top into being just pissed off all the time. Like, that's, I know what you're saying, but he's got to be, and I love that he's disappointed after games and stuff. I think it's very, very important to have that competitive fire that eats you up. But you do have to, you can't just tune out coaches, tune out players. Like, there is a little bit of a difference there. Mm.
Kyler will say, you can steal my joy all the time when I lose, unlike Deshaun.
I wonder if Anthony was making a reference about Deshaun after the game. I think that's just Deshaun's personality.
That's true.
He's not going to mean mug like JJ. JJ's got that angry thing going on right now. Of these five guys, Kyler, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun, Tua.
We got to put Mahomes.
Justin Herbert. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, God, it's like he's some kind of long veteran. It's same third year.
Came in with Deshaun.
Pat Mahomes. My goodness. This is what I'm talking about. The league is in great shape. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence coming, Zach Wilson. I mean, so Kyler, Josh, Lamar, Deshaun, Tua, Justin Herbert, Mahomes. Is there another quarterback I'm forgetting from this last year's draft? Tua? Oh, Joe Burrow. Man.
A little disrespectful on your part.
Look how, I mean, over the last 3 years, these guys have come into the league. 8 quarterbacks. Tua's got, he's only played 2 games. But, you know, it's good so far. And we knew he was a good college player coming in. Look at that. Look at what the college, because Justin Herbert looks pretty good to me. Joe Burrow looks pretty good to me. We got to see more on Tua. Lamar's, I don't know if Lamar will play at the level he played at last year on a consistent basis, but he's going to win a bunch of games. Josh Allen's pretty good. Kyler's pretty good. Of the young quarterbacks, man.
It's hard to put that in
really,
a, go ahead, rank them.
You know, it's, I'm going to stick with Mahomes 1.
Oh, well, Mahomes is 1.
I have to stick with Mahomes 1.
You sure about
one.
That? You sure
well,
you want to keep
and,
him there?
And by the way.
Who would you say, Tua?
I'm just kidding.
By the way. They don't look very good.
Who?
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs right now are just flip switches in the second half. That's really dangerous.
Yep.
It's almost like they just sleepwalk and like, oh, crap. McCaffrey looked really good
yesterday.
Well, they
flip switches in the playoffs.
I know they do.
That is true.
I mean, it's like this is a normal thing for them to play booty in the first half and then just like, all right, let's get serious about this. That's the kind of stuff that's going to come back to bite them. But I would say Mahomes one, two would be.
Did you see while you're figuring out your rankings? Did you see that play with when Andy Reid sent Mahomes in motion to take a snap? Did you see that?
No.
Around the goal line, Mahomes is motioning back and forth like he's trying to get the play call, and they snap it as he's in motion, like he's moving around.
Where he's catching it on the move?
He's catching it on the move, and he pretends to go one way, spins around, and throws a touchdown pass. That's how you know they're bored. They're bored with
Andy
normal
does
offense.
Things that yep. Andy does things that you well, would actually see at a high school somewhere, because the best innovation comes from like high school level. Andy does stuff. I've never seen that in my life.
That underhand pass to Travis Kelce. At 3 feet away, and yeah. Kelce runs it in for the score.
But he really is playing like he's on a different.
Yeah, yep. But just watch it. He's calling out signals, and they snap it as he's coming back to the center, but he's like in motion and then spins and throws a touchdown pass. They're just doing things like, hey, can we score?
Let's have some fun.
How
go ahead and try
can
to rank,
we score?
Go ahead and try to rank these guys. It's actually really hard. Mahomes won, but after that, you know, it would have been easy with Lamar Jackson previously, but because we're keeping out Russell. Russell's not a young quarterback, but where Kyler fits, where Josh Allen fits, where Deshaun fits.
I think Josh Allen might be moving up to two.
Yeah, Joe, Justin, Tua are obviously, they haven't been around long enough, clearly, but tell you, the league isn't really good because you still have guys like Matt Stafford who still has plenty of football left. What if Andrew Luck were to come back?
Oh my gosh!
What if Andrew Luck were to come back to the Colts, and then
could
you had
he
the...
tackle better than Big Philly or no? Oh.
Well, he would stay up.
You
he
think we should hear
down.
From Big Philly today?
We might need to. Big Philly struggled with running. I didn't know my imitation.
Up.
I didn't know my imitation was of Philip Rivers was so good. That's all I've been doing is Philip Rivers imitations this whole time. I didn't actually fall at Mobile. I did Philip Rivers. Unless Philip Rivers is
and
doing
when you fell off that ladder. That was a Rivers.
That was a Philip Rivers. Yeah. 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about the Loken Group. LOKEN, thelokengroup.com. Listen, there are so many examples. 2 days, 46 showings, 19 offers sold for $10,000 over list price. That's for Gary and Bessie. But this is happening all the time. Okay, they needed to move to Fort Worth and they needed to sell their house quickly. 2 days. This is what happens. And what happens if your agent can't sell your home and the listing expires? You need to go with the Loken Group, who consistently sell homes other agents couldn't sell. You want to sell your home without all the hassle and stress? They will give you an immediate cash offer. And to achieve top dollar for your home, you need an agent to create an auction-like effect with buyers competing for your home and driving up the price. This is what happens every single day. They have access to more buyers than anybody else. If you're worried about that you won't be able to sell your home for the price you want, go with the Loken Group, thelokengroup.com. You are going to love Lance. You're going to trust him. You're going to feel like he's a friend. And this is happening every single day. It's ridiculous how many more homes they have sold at the Loken Group than everywhere else. Number one in Texas, number two in the world for the Kellen Williams Platinum Group. All you got to do is give them a call. 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or go to The Loken Group, LOKEN, thelokengroup.com.
ESPN 97.5.